We're in 1 Samuel 16, chapter 7th verse. Title of the message today is David the Anointed. And I hope all of you know that Jesus Christ, and the name Christ actually means anointed, meaning that anointed for something very, very special. And in his case, the ultimate anointment. Amen? Amen. 1 Samuel 16, 7. I still hear pages, so I'll wait. I just always remember it's towards the front. 1 Samuel 16, 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on its countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Let us pray. Dear Father, we come before you. I do thank you, Lord, for our seniors. I thank you, God, for all that they can do for you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that each one have chosen to do things of worth and value. And I pray, Lord, your hand upon each one, and may each one of them be doing your will at this time in their lives, God. I just pray, Lord, for the younger people in our church, Lord, that as they grow, they'll have people to look up to and see and to understand that life is absolutely great with you. Lord, we pray all this in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. We touched on David's anointing last week. One after another of Jesse's sons came before Samuel and said, Samuel got word from God, no, no, no. And he kept going, no, 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 all the way through. And finally, Samuel looked at Jesse and said, Jesse, you got another son? He said, yeah, I got the young son's out there in the field and tending sheep. And so Samuel said, send for him. We need to talk to him. So he comes, and of course, God, that's the one that God wants. He doesn't want him. He's not taller than everybody in Israel as Saul was. He wasn't probably as big as his brothers and all this, but God had a plan for him, as God has a plan for everyone in this room. There's no one in this room that calls the name of Christ that does not have a plan for your life. You know, we see this grandiose schedule for David. We get to watch him over many years, but everyone has a grandiose plan. You know, we think it's just, you know, the people that go off to seminary or go off to Christian college or stuff like this. Let me tell you something. David didn't do any of that. His college was a bunch of sheep. Now, I wonder what he gathered from the sheep that made him a leader of men. If we just think about that a little while, we'll figure out that sheep, that's why the Bible always calls us as sheep, we kind of wander, we kind of stray. And David knew it. David learned what he was supposed to learn. And I think all the hours out there looking up at the heavens and understanding all the things that he could see and understand, the glory of God, the smallness of man, the glory of heavens, the earth, and how small it was. So David was one of these people that God obviously chosen, but as I said, he has chosen you. Amen, Brother Bill. You know, and I'd like to kind of back up a little bit. If we go back to the second chapter of Samuel, you don't really have to turn there, but you'll remember a young lady's name, Hannah. She was married to a man and she would cry. And she cried so much that when she went to the temple to pray, she cried and the high priest said, are you drunk? She says, oh, no, I'm just so distraught because I'm not a son to give to God. And so God blessed her. And so one of the prayers that she gave is he raises up the poor out of the dust and lifted up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's. And he has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. The horn of his anointed, obviously, the horn would be having the oil in it that Samuel came around. Here's Hannah praying for Samuel. Samuel is the one who has just anointed David, or will be anointing David in just a few verses. And you think about that progress. You don't think Hannah's prayer to bring in the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. See, David represents Christ in the Old Testament. Everything you can just think about, this David was, he fit the bill. Of course, he was human, thereby he sinned, but he fit the bill. Faith in God brings movement by God, and Hannah knew that. Hannah instinctively knew that. Do you have someone that you are inspired by God to pray for? Your children? Your mom, your dad, your kids? Somebody at work? Someone. See, Hannah prayed for her son. In praying for Samuel, she was praying for the king to come, to be that righteous one who had that, who was anointed to be the king, the Messiah. And that's what we're talking about. But as Christians, we should be praying for different things and ones that God has laid upon our hearts. If you're not, I beg you to think about this. How much does other people miss because you do not pray for them? How many people are left desolate because we've not interceded for them, or we've not went to them, we've not cared for them? Let me tell you, David cared for sheep. He was taught to serve, and he served others, amen, all his life. What were you taught to do? To take? See, lots of people in churches, they only want to be served. I tell people all the time, if you come here to be served, you're in the wrong place. You come to serve others. And see, if you're in need of service, there will be ones in this church that will know that you need and will serve you. Amen, Brother Bill. So let's go back to David for a minute. He is the answer to the prophecy of the Old Testament because he foreshadows Jesus Christ, who is the ultimate answer for every prophecy in the Old Testament. So David was the contrast to King Saul. King Saul was a tall, big man. He was taller than any other man in Israel. David was God's man. Saul was Satan's man. God allowed Saul to show his disobedience, and he disobeyed God regularly. Samuel loved Saul. Samuel had a horrible time letting go and letting the new king step forward and to be the number one in his life. But God had to show Samuel how bad Saul was. And this is all preparation. The people always have that first choice. A lot of times what happens to young ladies in our church, they see this kind of a bad guy, and they fall in love with him. Amen? Then they find out he really is bad. Amen? And so then it's a lot of times it's too late. Amen? They don't come to church. They don't like you, and they don't, oh, yeah, they can have children, but that's about all they do in the family. Amen? And so that's usually the presentation of Satan of the first one to you. You ever thought about that? You're praying for a godly man, and you get this kind of a bad guy that will come to church with you once in a while. But let me tell you a secret. That once in a while stuff, he wasn't already in church. You shouldn't even be dating him. I'm serious. You think about this. We let our little girls, and I'm so old that most of our young ladies are little girls to me. We let them date guys that shouldn't even be walking on the street. They should be arrested. You think of some of the things our children have got into, and you know I'm telling the truth. Sometimes I think, well, I just kind of get really strange and kidnap people and then threaten them. Y'all think about that a minute. What would be better for the young man? A real talking to? Or let him date your daughter? And contact, I mean, just being in the same room with the wrong person can ultimately lead to the wrong thing. We're human. And if we would understand that, see, Saul was the absolute absence of any righteousness. His will was what he wanted. That's what happens today in our world. So many people want their way, not God's way. Thereby, everything's open. Everything's okay to do. Just have fun. Let me tell you a little secret. That fun always leads to what? It leads to tragedy upon tragedy. We have people that are absolutely torn up for life because of their youth. They chose to do wrong things, and there was nobody there to say no. Amen, Brother Bill. So Saul needed to know. Samuel needed to know. The people needed to know. David needed to be tested and to be shown that he was able to lead the people. Sometimes when we're tested, we don't want to feel it. We don't want to know it. It's just like the dating of the young ladies. And it works the same way with young men. A lot of times it's our young men who are the aggressors, and we need to kind of put a collar on them just to kind of touch that side of it too. But think about this. David needed to be tested. Are you a genuine child of God? That's a real question of David. Do you really trust God? Are you going to follow him? You've been anointed. Now, what are you going to do with it? So what happens to him? He spends how many years running from Saul? I'm kind of jumping ahead a little bit, and I'm going to come back. But jumping ahead, he ran from Saul for years. Finally, Judah accepts him as their king, and they anoint him. And then finally, Israel accepts him as a king, and they anoint him. If you just check your Bible, you'll find out that Jesus Christ was anointed three times too. Priest, king, savior. Amen. So the question again to David and to us today is, are we genuine children of God? Do you have the results of salvation? A lot of times we think, well, you know, once saved, always saved, because we're Baptists. Let me tell you something. The doctrine of being a Baptist is real good. It can put peace upon you. But don't trade words for actions. Amen, bro. Amen. In other words, you can say anything you want to. I had a conversation this morning about saying what you want to, and it'd be a lie. Amen? Let me tell you, though. God would have you to know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you're saved. You can know. The Bible says you can know. And if you're in doubt, what's the problem? What's the problem? It's because you would rather live the life of Satan than the life of God. If there's not a struggle, then you're not in the fight. And thereby, if you're not in the fight, what's wrong? Spiritually speaking, you're either dead or alive. Amen, Brother Bill. We need the help of the Spirit of God because we are in trouble all the time. Hebrews 12:6 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." That word means that he is going to pry out your soul. He is going to open you up, expose your sin. He is going to work on you. If you don't know you're a sinner, you're in trouble. I've had people tell me, well, I don't ever sin. I just want to go, wah, and see if they get mad. And I mean, I actually, like the Bible says, to twist someone's nose until it bleeds, just to see how mad they get. And just see the reaction. Let me tell you something. You think, well, that's kind of silly, Brother Bill. Everybody gets mad like that. Yeah, but what do they do after they get mad? See, the instant response I'm not looking for. The instant reaction. I'm looking for, what's this person going to do towards me the rest of their life? What are they going to do to you? You know, there are people who get upset with me, and they stay mad at me forever. It's just my personality, my winning personality. And you know what? God made me this way. Or did I copy my father? Y'all have to think about that one. The Lord tests those whom he loves. That was God's way in Saul's day, and it's the same to this day. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised them that love him." Jesus Christ will sit upon the throne of David. You know, we think today, where's the throne of David? Well, actually, we don't know where it is, do we? But you know, it's kind of like you. One day you're going to be blown up, burned up, or you're just going to drop dead. Amen? One way or the other, something's going to happen. And guess what's going to happen next? You are going to kind of turn to dust. Amen? Very few bodies come through a couple thousand years. A few have made it because they were embalmed and all. But don't rattle them too much because they'll turn to dust too. But guess what happens? Every particle will ultimately be blown away, shifted in, done something with. Amen? And so if you're thinking about blowing away, you go to a river like St. John's, you go blown into St. John's, you go out in the ocean. You can literally be anywhere in the world real soon. Let me tell you one little secret. God knows where every piece of you happens to be. Right now, we're kind of contained, more or less. But one day, you won't be here. You'll be somewhere in the ground, blown up, burned up, something. And you'll be somewhere else. But just like that throne will come back to where it's supposed to be, and your body will come back just like God said it would. You know, so many people are so skeptical of everything the Bible says. And everything the Bible said would happen is happening. I would rather trust the Bible than some guy that thinks he knows what it's all about. I've seen absolute presence of God working through this church, much less any other church, how he's kept us open, how he's opened up doors, how we've trusted him, and things have happened here. Bad things happen. Amen? Terrible things happen. You know what? Though God allows it to happen. If he wanted us all to be just fat, sassy, and happy, he let us do that. And what would we do? We would rot in our very seats. We would never be any good for him. When we're challenged by God, just as David was, David comes out of the sheep pasture. He's already been fighting bears and lions and all these other things out there. So he's been trained in warfare. He's been trained in patience. He's been trained in all kind of things. He's even been trained in treating animals the way it should be. Why do you think God breaks your leg every once in a while? And it can be any part of your body. Why do you think God breaks parts of you? The sheep, when they wander off, the shepherd had to go and break their leg and carry them till the leg was fixed. They never wandered after that ever again. Why do you think God lets bad things happen to good people? And then we have to ask ourselves, who are the good people? Amen, Brother Bill. Amen. God knows. God's son will sit upon that throne just as surely as Samuel, the prophet, anointed David the king. Years passed until reality set in and David actually became the king. Think of Abraham. You know, he is an old man, and God says, you know, I'm going to bless you with a son. Amen? I'm going to give you a son, and he is going to be a blessing to the world. Because you're the blessing, he is going to carry on that blessing to all the world. 30 years later, he's an old man, even older than I am, Andrew. Think about that. You know, that many years ahead. And so what happens? He has a son. Of course, he kind of went the way of the world, and he had another son first, Ishmael, out of the marriage of the one he's supposed to have had it in. And that's caused trouble ever since. But here comes this young man, Isaac, and amen, 30 years. Some of y'all gripe about one day. God never answers my prayer. Well, you just prayed it. Can you wait a little while? So David, before he would actually rule as king, he spent many days as a criminal, hated, outlawed, hunted. We don't experience much of any of that. Amen? I mean, in America, we have some sort of a good justice system, and we're not hauled off to jail. This young man was thrown, a javelin was thrown at him. They tried to get him everywhere they could. God protected him. Think how God loves you. How encouraging Hannah was with her prayer in the dark days of her life. Our government, even to this day, you know, it's gotten so big that now they use the government against certain groups, as we've heard on the news. You know, we think, well, that's all horrible, and they're going to stamp Christ out of the world. Let me tell you a secret. You're never going to stamp Christ out of the world. We may erase him from every building in Washington. We may erase him from every book, Bible, every sign, every mouth, everything, but Christ will live within us. We will be that remnant that absolutely will live until he comes back, until he shuts things down. His will, not ours. But no fear, Jesus' light will never be put out. We are the remnant. We will be God's people forever. If Christ is within you, nothing can separate you. You know, I know some of our brothers think that you can lose your salvation. Trust me, if you're saved, who can take you? I heard one man say, well, if you're in God's hand, you can take yourself out of his hand. Really? Think about that a minute. How big is God's hand? As big as he wants it. How big is our universe? 16 billion and upon billions of stars. Who made them? Oh, the Big Bang. You're right. How long have they been there? Billions of years. Okay? Who made them? Think. You're in his hand. You will be forever. We will see David one day. To our knees, brothers and sisters, we should be. Amen. Hannah proved to us that prayer brings about change. Someone here brought it to one son who then blessed another son. God's plan was very general until it came down to Samuel anointing David. Then God became very specific. David will be the king, and his family will bring in the true king, the one and only king, David the beloved. You think about it. Jesus Christ was the beloved. They were both born in Bethlehem. Beautiful countenance on both of them. Both of them were shepherds of renown. Both of them were a low occupation. Jesus Christ was a carpenter. David was a shepherd. And both, well, think about it. David had a victory over Goliath, 9 foot guy. Can you imagine? 9'2", I think I figured out one time. 9'2" and a monster. Who did Jesus Christ slay? Satan. Both slaughtered giants. That cross brought Satan down to where he absolutely belongs, and he will be thrown in the pit forever and ever. Think about that. Forever and ever. That anointing brought that to David, which brings it to Jesus Christ. Think about Saul. The moment the Holy Spirit came upon David, when Samuel anointed him, the Holy Spirit left Saul. That Holy Spirit was there for one reason, to try to get Saul to look up and change. Do y'all ever remember Saul? One of his first rebellions was against a king named Agag. And I think it was the Amalekites, if I remember correctly, that he was commanded to go and destroy. I mean, destroy. And people today say, well, God's kind of a bloody God. Do y'all realize that God waited 500 years for Amalekites to repent? See, they were the cousins of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. Wouldn't let them go through their land or drink their water or anything like this. And it was an affront to God. And God said, you know, that's wrong. 500 years God waited. I wonder how long God's waited on some of y'all that are lost today. I wonder what he said to you, begged you, pushed you, pleaded. The Holy Spirit convicted you. Has it been 500 years in today's life? Back then, he got killed anyway. In fact, Samuel, who I'd never read where he hurt anybody, took a sword and sliced him up. The punishment for sin is horrible. Amen. And I pray that you know Jesus Christ beyond a shadow of a doubt. If there's any doubt in your mind or your heart, please come. Let us talk. Let us reason together Jesus Christ, for he is truly the only one that can help you. Amen. Let's all stand.